It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
It is always a good day when I can step out into my small studio and speak with interesting people about topics that I find fascinating and truly dinner conversation, anything to do with a positive death, moving forward, the afterlife, grief, and how we walk with it and how we deal with it. Grief is a big one. It has been a very difficult 2020, now 2021. We're still kind of in the throes of struggling with the pandemic. And a lot of people are just suffering. And this woman, oh my goodness, I'm so fortunate. I found her page on Facebook and I started looking into it and I reached out to her and I thought, she's probably not going to want to talk to me. I just have this little podcast and she's got this huge Facebook presence. But lo and behold, this fabulous woman said, yes, I'd love to be on your show. So Jan Warner is here today. She's back on The Next Room. She is a writer, a storyteller, a blogger, a speaker of truth. She's feisty as all get out. Jan started her grief journey because she was so despondent over losing her husband. So she started the Facebook page, which is called Grief Speaks Out, which today has over 2.4 million fans and followers. And she has written a book called Grief Day by Day, which I personally know has helped myriads of people. I send that book to everyone that I know that is suffering through loss. So without further ado, I am thrilled she would come back on the show. Dun, da, da, da. Jan Warner, welcome to The Next Room.
Thank you so much for that outrageously wonderful introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. And I just have to say right off the bat that I appreciate what you're doing. You have this Facebook page, and it's phenomenal. I mean, I share so much onto my The Next Room Facebook page through your page because it resonates with so many people. But here you are, Grief Speaks Out. You have millions of people that follow this page, and you personally are there. You are personally posting things. You are connecting with this amazing community. How do you do it?
One day at a time. Sometimes I do schedule ahead. My husband was a recovering alcoholic, and his main role in life was supporting other addicts and alcoholics. So when he first died, we called each other our raison d'etre. My reason for being was death. And at some point, it took me about 6 months to even function enough to say, what's my point? What's my purpose? And I said, well, if he helped other addicts and alcoholics, maybe I can reach out to grieving people. And if I reach one person, that would be enough. And I have, in a way that's rather still astonishing to me, reached millions of people. I seem to have an ability to articulate what they're thinking. And I've created this wonderful supporting group of people that come from every country, almost in the world. And I think it's because most cultures don't support grief. They want to tell you how to grieve and when it should be over and what it should look like. And that's not allowed on my page. You're only allowed to share your own experience because you can't grieve long. I never ask myself anymore what's normal. I ask myself, is it serving the kind of life I want to live? And then I ask myself if I can change it. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't.
I love that. You can't grieve wrong. And thank you. Thank you for that. You know, not trying to tell people how they should feel or how they should deal with their loss. You're just allowing their grief. You know, for instance, I'm looking at the page right now and you posted about 7 hours ago. You said, do you feel guilty about being happy? Do you feel guilty for being alive? Please share your experience. And then you put something from one of the people on the page. Those are real thoughts and those are really good questions and people are really responding to that type of outlet.
Well, because I do 7 posts a day and they're all different. One of the posts is always the question of the day. Sometimes I make up the question. Sometimes I take questions from people that want me to ask them and I always answer it. But what I noticed last time I looked at, I don't always look at how many responses I get. In 1 week, I had 16,000 responses, 16,000 posts. So that means that people go to the page and the person that asked that question is going to have all these people talk about their experience and how they feel guilty. So one of the things the page does is people go, oh, wait a minute, I'm not alone.
Mm.
I had an online conversation with a grief coach when Prince Philip died, and I posted about that. And she sort of had it all set up in her mind about how it takes 3 years to start to heal. And that's what the experts say. And I actually said, well, actually, I am an expert. And you have to say to somebody, what's your experience? Because especially, even in real life, somebody tells you something about themselves. I can't know what's best. Something that somebody would love for me to say to them might make another person feel crazy. If you tell somebody that Jesus is going to support you through this, that might be really comforting to some person. To a Wiccan or an atheist or somebody who's angry with God, it's just going to irritate them.
Right.
So when people say to me, what should you do with a grieving person? My first thing is always listen. And then my second thing is ask, what do you need?
Mm.
And the answer may be nothing because, you know, my snarky answer when Ari first died was, somebody would say, can I do anything for you? And I would say, can you resurrect dead people? And they'd say, no. And I'd say, well, then there's actually nothing you can do. And it was true in some ways in the beginning.
Right.
So.
And that's okay. You know, you can have a little snark if that's how you're feeling. You know, grief brings out so many emotions. There is anger involved with grief, and there is guilt, and there's shame, and you name it, you know, it isn't something to be corrected. It is something that we literally live with, and we need to walk with it and kind of just, it kind of grows with us as we grow along our journey. How did grief actually change you as an individual, as a woman who lost this, your reason for being has now left? How did it change you?
Well, I lost my attention span.
Mm.
I lost my love for reading. It was interesting. Mm. I asked if there was something that people love to do that they don't do anymore now that somebody they love has died. And a lot of people said reading. And it's because Artie's my husband's name, used to read together. We used to read to each other. And it's very quiet when I read. And I keep buying books and I keep trying to read. And it's still hard for me after 11 years. But I asked a question because I've been doing this for a long time now. I don't know when I post something if it's going to get 2 shares or 5,000 shares.
Right.
So I asked people if they liked the quotes that were dark or if they liked the quotes that had more light in them. And the answer I got was interesting because a large percentage of people said both. So that's, to me, it's what my grief is like. But also what's helpful to people is to flip back and forth, is to honor the pain and the missing and how mm-hmm. hard it is to live when somebody you love has died. At the same time, you put in, you know, the stars break through the darkness of night and all the things, because my life is also magical. I have all these wonderful adventures, which I never would. When my husband died, I thought my life was over. I used to say we died instead of he died. But in the past 11 years, I've had a lot of adventures. It took me a while to get there. At the beginning, I was mostly like not moving at all. I had to do one thing a day, and it might be take a 2-minute walk and then go back and lie down. But over the years, I've learned that I say this a lot. I want his life and our life together and our love to matter more than his death.
Mm.
When I first started grieving, the only thing I thought about was his death, and that seems so unfair to our life together. It is not to every day live for him and for me. And if I can't, that's a day I can't, but to try and do that.
Wow, hang on. I want our life and our love to matter more than his death. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful. Great quote.
Because I always thought of him as dead Artie when he first died. And I realized every time I thought my husband's dead, I was reinforcing how horribly upset and angry and lonely I was. And when I think of him as being vital and full of life and who he was for a long time, then I feel happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm honoring him. I'm honoring the work he did. I'm honoring the love we had. And so that to me is to make my life sort of a monument to him.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, that's why I don't see grief as having to have an end. Is he comes with my grief comes with me everywhere I go. You know, I'm a world traveler. I don't need to grieve at home. I can grieve in Paris, not right now because of the pandemic. And my husband comes with me everywhere I go. I'm not, some people let go. I know people that have asked to be released from grief or feel that they have. I'm a holder on. But that doesn't mean I have to be unhappy all the time. It just means that I can have the love that we had inspire me instead of make me totally paralyzed.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I you know, daily there are, you know, our life experience is such that we're all going to die. We're all going to transition at some point. It's just a matter of how and when. But in doing so, when we live so richly and we love so deeply, you know, that pain is there. And it's almost like, I just saw a quote the other day, and I know I'm not going to get it right, but I'll paraphrase. It was about, we're so fortunate to grieve so deeply because we know then we've loved so deeply.
That's exactly it. That was, I have certain turning points, and one of them was a play I went to see before the pandemic, obviously. And the man was doing a monologue about somebody that was crying at his wife's funeral, and everybody thought he was crying because he loved her and he missed her, but he was crying because he didn't love her and he didn't care that she was dead, and he was sad that he had lived so many years with somebody he didn't care about, didn't grieve for. And he was sad that she didn't have somebody to grieve for her because she deserved that. And that was a real eye opener for me.
Wow.
How lucky I am to have had the kind of love in my life that I have had. I don't feel particularly lucky that I have a dead husband. I'm honest about that. To me, people will often say, follow your bliss. And I follow my authenticity. You know, what you see is what you get. And, you know, today is like a perfect example. It's like, oh, I'm still alive. Now what do I do? Well, I'm just going to sleep for a little longer. Oh, okay. Now I'm going to ask a friend about lunch. Now I'm going to talk to Jane. Now I'm going to. It's like whatever, you know, if I get stuck, I get stuck. So I try and get unstuck. If I don't get stuck, that's better. But it's not important.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be this fake. When people ask me how I am, I always feel rather impolite because I know I'm supposed to say, fine, thank you, how are you? But I always say, the same as always, the wonderful bits are wonderful and what sucks, sucks, especially during COVID.
Yeah.
When we've had to readjust everything, even
right.
If I haven't had the tragedy of losing a loved one, and so many people have in the most painful ways when they can't be with them, I've lost. I spent 10 years after my husband died learning how not to isolate. And then with COVID, I had to learn how to isolate. And now I have to learn how not to isolate again.
Yeah.
And it ain't easy.
No. Well, Jan Warner, you are something else. I mean, you are authentic and you do stand in your integrity. And I love that about you. I just, your spirit comes shining through and you really are helping people. So many people that you don't even realize. I mean, I just recently had a friend from my hometown who lost her husband and they were, you know, they were sweethearts from high school. And this was a deep, loving, amazing connection. And they were really, very tied into the community and everyone loved this couple. And so I sent her Grief Speaks Out, or I sent her Grief Day by Day, your book, and told her about the Facebook page. And I got the most beautiful thank you note. And that book is helping her. I mean, it's resonating because so much of it, it's like a workbook, and you can sit there and go through each day and you're like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not going crazy. I actually, there are other people that are feeling this, and that book is really helping people.
Thank you. The publisher, I was lucky. I was contacted by a publisher because I have so many followers on Grief Speaks Out, and they gave me an outline, which I didn't like at the beginning, but I like now because the book has 365 quotes in addition to commentary by me, in addition to exercises, some of which will look familiar to people, a lot of which won't because I made them up. So no matter, so there's something for every week, and some people start at the beginning and read their way through. But if you're feeling there's a day when you need to read about hope because you don't have any, you can read about hope. If there's a day when you're feeling totally desperate, you can read about despair. One of the things I fought with my editor about and won was they would often say to me, can't you make suicide a little bit more cheerful? And I would say, no, actually, I can't.
What?
They wanted me to change suicide to contemplating the end.
Ugh.
And I said, people who are thinking about suicide are not contemplating the end.
No.
They're on the internet or looking up how to kill themselves, or they're
right.
buying a gun. And if one person looks in this book and doesn't see a topic called suicide and they kill themselves, it's just your fault. I'm not changing it. And so they let me leave it. And then I had a friend whose husband took his own life, and she contacted me and said she bought my book and the first thing she looked up is suicide. So you have my opinions, but you also have the opinions of some of the most amazing people in the world and what they think about grief.
Yeah.
So it really is a compilation of all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I read a quote that's not in the book that I really liked the other day. Jane Winterson says, grieving is learning to live with somebody who isn't there.
Boy.
And that whole, how do I live with somebody who's there, but not there?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy, you know, especially during the pandemic. You know,
yeah.
It's like, hey, I want to talk to you about this. Well, I can't. And even after 11 years, sometimes I'll go, all right, here's all the people I could call to talk to about this. I don't want to talk to any of them. I want to talk to my husband, who is dead.
Right.
And a child. And I want to mention miscarriages, because a lot of times people say, well, you were just pregnant. Well, you grieve for the person that's gone, but you also grieve for all your hopes and dreams. It breaks my heart when I read about people whose fiance died because they had all this future plan with them. But even if somebody has been married for 54 years, they still have future plan. So you grieve for so many different things. To expect it to go away in 6 months to a year. That's how I got started. A therapist told me that. I thought that was the stupidest thing I ever heard, because why? How foolish would it be to like forget about something that was so special to me and is still so special to me?
Right. Well, and in doing this and in creating your Facebook page, Grief Speaks Out, it's like, you did this to help yourself, right? You're in the throes of grief and you're mourning Artie, and you start this Facebook page, and who'd have thunk that it would just explode like it has and taken over. And just so people know, I will put links to Grief Day by Day, the book. So you can just click on it on the show page and it'll take you right to where you can purchase it. And I'm telling you now, get a case of them and have them handy, because everyone that I have gifted, no, seriously, I've gifted, and you were so generous in donating, because I was working with a hospice facility here in San Diego, and I took a bunch of copies out there to the hospice facility. And you told me before that you literally have left them in hospitals or hospice facilities, and, you know, you take them and put them places, you know. It's like you... I understand making money, and I'm sure that it's very lovely to be able to make money as an author, but you're also very generous, and it seems to me that you're doing this to help others.
Well, my two basic things for grief at the beginning and even now is showing up, because I often, even now, don't want to go anywhere, but if I show up, I usually have a good time. But the second one is helping people. And I learned that from my husband, but I've always been that way. I get so much joy from thinking about somebody else and if I can make a difference that I will never stop posting on Grief Speaks Out until I'm dead, because I can't believe that there are people all around the world that have told me that what they do every morning is they make a cup of coffee and they read what I posted. So even at the beginning, like let's say somebody you love just died and you feel like you can't go out, you can't face people, you can't do anything. If you're on the internet, you can find somebody that's suffering and post something supportive to them. And when you're thinking about that person, you're not thinking about yourself. And in the world we live in, it's just an important thing if everybody would be help one person. And it could be just being at the supermarket and smiling through your mask and they can't see you, but saying, your hair is really beautiful. It's just being nice to other people is a way of helping yourself.
Yeah, it really is. Jan Warner is my guest today on The Next Room, and Grief Day by Day is her book. Grief Speaks Out is the Facebook page. And Jan, I share so much from your page onto The Next Room's Facebook page. And every time I do, I get so much, there's so much engagement because so many of your posts are resonating with the folks that are on my page. And my page is just kind of a you know, I'm in the process of writing a book, and I started the page because of my podcast, and I love to talk to people about this topic. So, but it's been really fun for me to be able to share your information because I have a lot of people that are going through different levels of grief that are on my page as well.
And thank you. And that's what's interesting about both the book and the page is it's places I don't even know about because of what you said. If I send 20 copies of the book to somebody and they give them away, I don't know who the next person is going to be that's going to give it away. I wrote something about people donating it to libraries, and somebody messaged me and said, oh, that's how it wound up in the library in the Plains of Canada. I had no idea it was in a library. I don't even know where the Plains of Canada is, actually. So it's the generosity.
Yes.
But I also do find that people find it helpful so that they give it to other people, which touches my heart. I mean, Right. That's what an amazing thing to be told that I've been able to give somebody some measure of comfort.
Right.
When it feels like there's nothing that can comfort you. So.
Well, you are. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just say one more, because it's important. But I don't take credit for it. The grief coach that wanted to put a time limit on things said that she was the great comforter. I'm not the great comforter. People do their own work. I just put stuff out there. But you have to take it and you have to act on it in some way. So that's why I'm not a central part of my Facebook page, because it's really not about me. It's about the grieving people that support each other and figure things out for themselves. I just give them tools to do it so they get the credit I don't.
Yeah. Boy, and I do have to say that is 100% spot on, because I spend a lot of time on your Facebook page because I'm going through my various grief too over the losses that I've had, and I share a lot on my page. But I will say this, and I'm very impressed. You've got 2.4 million plus followers on your page, Grief Speaks Out, but you don't sit there and do this gratuitous, hey, buy my book. And you know, you see so many people that are plugging their stuff all the time, and it takes like an act of God to get you to post about your very own book. You don't do it very often.
No, I don't. Every once in a while I do. But the truth is I don't post resources either. People like the way the page is.
Right.
And when I change it, they get upset. So, and the other thing that I found is that when I post about my book, it's actually gratifying, because a lot of people say they already have it and that it's been very helpful. So I do publicize the book, but not on the page very much. It is on the cover photo and it is my profile picture. So I am associated. And even, I don't know if this is interesting or not. But what I've done with podcasts now is I'm looking for people who will say that they found the book helpful. Like a friend of mine has a podcast and he gave it to his mom. So he talks about it. I don't need to be a face. I don't need to be the voice. I think it's more helpful to have other people talk about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't need to be the center. It's not, I don't need to be the center of this.
I love it. I love it. I am so happy that you continue to come on the show, and I want to have you back. You know, you can come whenever you feel like chatting about grief, because I just really appreciate the integrity that you have and your authenticity, and you're fantastic. Jan Warner, my guest today, Grief Day by Day is her book. Grief Speaks Out is her Facebook page. Go and give it a thumbs up, and you will find everything that you could possibly need. Not only that, but a community of really loving, kind people. It's really a beautiful community that has been created for us on Facebook through Jan. So, Jan, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there something, a final thought that you may have?
Just to thank you for being such a bright light. I think that what I find most consistent around people I know is that we tend to look at ways in which we're not succeeding instead of, like, I used to have that one chore a day at the beginning. It's like, what did I do today that was worthwhile? And I tell people in the book, I want you to move. So if you want to go out and run, you can, but if you can't, move your little finger. But if you move your little finger, that's an accomplishment. So start looking at yourself with the eyes of people who love you, and look at yourself with the eyes of the person that you died that loved you so much. And I think you'll see a different person than if you look at yourself with your own eyes, because we have to learn how to start taking care of ourselves just by noticing all the good stuff we do, even if it's teeny tiny stuff.
Ah, that's beautiful. I have nothing to add. Thank you so much for tuning into The Next Room with Jan Warner. Just a pure delight. Grief Day by Day, Grief Speaks Out. Thanks again, Jan.
Thank you.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.